had this time in the upper room with his disciples. And this final passage is all about the peace that Jesus gives to his children. And so it'll be a great review for us. I know we've talked about his peace before, but this particular passage is quite fitting for us as God's children as we live in this unpeaceful world and have our unpeaceful circumstances. It reminds us that we can still have the peace of God in our hearts that Jesus promised here in John 14. So beginning in verse 27 down to verse 30, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. So my peace I give unto you." Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now, and thank you for the privilege to open it. And Lord, we want to please you and our response to your word, and Lord, and just all that happens in this service, our prayer time, we give it all to you and pray now the Holy Spirit would guide us and control this service. And we love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus says, "I leave my peace with you. I'm about to leave this earth, but I'm going to leave peace with you." And as we saw when we studied the Comforter earlier in the chapter, that's one of the things he does for us, is he gives us peace. If you turn over to 16:33, Jesus explains that we're not going to have peace in the world, but we are, as God's children, able to have the peace of God in our hearts because of who lives in our hearts and because of the salvation we have. Notice John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Now look at the rest of this. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So he even tells us, and we'll go over this in more detail when we get to it in chapter 16, but he even says in advance, you're going to have tribulation, but you can still have peace because I, Jesus, have overcome the world. And of course, we know this to be true. We know that death has been conquered, the world's been conquered, and we're on the winning side. And we know the heavens are home. We know Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And because of all these things, we can have true peace, the peace of God. So just a quick review. We know who the author of peace is. Go to 2 Thessalonians 3:16 and we'll just confirm it, that the originator and author of true peace is the Lord himself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always by all means." So this says the Lord of peace. He refers to the Lord as the Lord of peace, and he says, "May he give you peace always by all means." And so the Lord is the author of true peace. Jesus is talking about here. And of course, we've understood and studied many times that for us as Christians, that we can have peace with God, and then we have the peace of God. And they're two different things, aren't they? The world has neither. But once we are born again, God gives us peace with God, and that means reconciliation. It means that the barrier of sin has been knocked down, and that now we can have fellowship with our Creator again. And that's having peace with God, which every Christian possesses. Romans 5:1 is a good verse for that. Let's turn there. Romans 5:1. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God. Now in Romans 10:15, God refers to the gospel that we preach as the gospel of peace. Why is that? Because when we share the gospel with a lost person and they believe on Jesus Christ, they receive the peace with God. They receive reconciliation with their Creator. Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace, talking about Jesus. It says that He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So Jesus broke down that wall of sin, which separates us from God. And when we receive salvation, we receive, along with it, the peace with God. And Colossians 1:20, one more verse on it. And then we'll talk about the peace of God. So peace with God is, again, every Christian receives this at salvation. Notice Colossians 1:20. It says, And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. When He shed His blood, peace was now available to all that would be saved. Up to that point, it was separation. So that's peace with God. But the peace that Jesus was referring to here in John 14 is the peace of God. Now that is a peace that's available to all Christians, but it's different. Peace with God is just something that we're given as a gift, isn't it? But the peace of God is something that's available to us, but we have to have a part in it as well by trusting the Lord, don't we? So there's many Christians who don't have the peace of God because they won't trust God. They won't turn their burdens over to Him, their concerns, their stresses, whatever. And until we are willing to do that, it's not going to happen. So peace comes, like I said, through trusting the Lord, doesn't it? And of course, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is the best passage for that. Most of you know it by heart. But it says, as you all know, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says it passes all understanding, this peace of God. But verse 6 and verse 7 are a package. So we have to be anxious or careful for nothing, and we have to bring all our petitions to Him. We have to turn it all over to Him and trust Him. And if we'll do that, then we can have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Another verse on that, Isaiah 26:3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. So it comes down to trust, doesn't it? Trusting the Lord means that we can have the peace of God in our hearts, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, isn't it? So peace comes through trusting the Lord. It also comes through loving God's Word. Go to Psalms 119, 165, and we'll see this. And of course, these go hand in hand. If you're trusting the Lord, you're loving His Word. If you're not loving His Word, you're not trusting the Lord, because you can't have one without the other. But I love this verse, Psalm 119, 165. It says, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So God says there's great peace available to those who will trust God with everything, and to those who will love His Word. Great peace have they which love thy law. And of course, as we are trusting the Lord, we are loving His Word, and we're of course living in the Spirit of God. And that's again, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So back to our passage, Luke 14, 27, he says, My peace I give unto you, but he goes on to say, Not as the world giveth. So the world can't have this peace. Now they're looking for it, aren't they? They're trying to find it, a peace in their soul, and they just can't find it. Why? Because they haven't found God yet. So it's not available. Because God is the author of true peace. Until they come to God His way through Jesus Christ, they can't have that peace. Now, there's two other pieces we didn't mention this evening, but you know what they are. Peace with one another comes as we love one another as we should. And then fourthly, world peace. We hear that phrase a lot today, don't we? And world peace won't come until the Prince of Peace sets up His peaceful kingdom. So that's out of the question until Jesus comes and comes back to the earth and sets up his kingdom. Until then, this world is going to be void of peace and just going to get worse and worse. There's just going to be more wars and more absence of peace. But when it comes to the wicked, the world, go to Isaiah 48:22, and we'll see what God has to say, just to confirm this statement I made earlier that the world can't have this peace. Isaiah 48:22, God actually repeats this twice in Isaiah, but notice here he says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." And when you hear that word wicked, that's comparing the righteous with the unrighteous, isn't it? You and I are the righteous, not because we're righteous in and of our behavior, but because we've been declared righteous through Jesus Christ. We've been justified. So the Bible says there's no peace. The world can't have the peace of God that we have available to us. So he says, back to our passage, verse 30, he went on to say, "The prince of this world cometh." But despite verse 30, he says, verse 27, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So if you're living the peace of God, you're not afraid and you're not troubled. Those two, they're two aren't compatible. If you're living a life of being troubled or stressed, or living a life of fear, you're not living a life of peace, are you? Because if you're trusting the Lord 100%, then you fear nothing, as God tells us to fear nothing. And your heart isn't troubled about anything either, because you're trusting God. You know He's in control. You know He makes no mistakes. So He says, because I have this peace available to you that's not available to the world, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And how many times are we told in the Old and the New Testament, don't fear, don't be afraid, don't let your heart be troubled? Verse 1 of the same chapter, what did he say? Before he talked about the mansions in heaven, before he talked about coming back, his first phrase was, what? Let not your heart be troubled. That's the beginning of the chapter. You believe in God, believe also in me. But let not your heart be troubled. Hebrews says, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear." Romans 8:37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us." 1 John 5:4, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So, because the peace of God is available to God's children through the Holy Spirit, through loving his word, through completely trusting the Lord, we therefore should not be afraid and we should not be troubled. That word troubled means, modern vernacular, stressed out about your circumstances. Jesus says, you don't need to be, because I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm with you. And so he's giving these beautiful promises to the disciples to prepare them for his departure, but also to encourage us as well, that Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you." Hallelujah. That the day he moved in, he not only gave us peace with God through salvation, reconciliation, breaking down that middle wall of partition between us, but he also moved in and gave us, or made available to us, the peace of God. We just need to trust him. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't fear. Don't stress. And be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Give it all to God. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So my peace I give unto you. Let's pray. Lord.